Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hey, hey, Michigan Maniacs. This is the Michigan Football Rant, and I am your host, Adam Brewer. This is the reaction episode, UConn. Before we get going, guys, hit me up on Instagram or Facebook fan page. I have a YouTube thing that I should dedicate more time to, but like I said, I don't have a really studio right now, and what's going on with... just real busy. Anyways, moving it past that. I'm tired of talking about it anyways. So let's get into this. Okay. So this was a game. It was an interesting game. It was probably one of the best. It was probably the most complete game I've ever seen Michigan play in a long time. I mean, in all facets of the game, we looked fantastic. And yet boring, I guess, in a way. But still, it's the best boring I've ever watched. I love it. I absolutely dig it. I mean, you can always tell that this was a game that special teams played a big part in, because you could have a stat line like Corum with 12 rushes for 71 yards and 5 touchdowns. So what that basically tells you, when you have 5 touchdowns and you have only 71 yards rushing, is that you have had great field position for most of those drives. Right, you are on the short side of the field most of the time. Or also, it looks like we have really solved the red zone problem that plagued us all kind of for the first part of last season. So it's great to see that, and I would assume that is a JJ thing. I mean, JJ is just a different human being, and just the way defenses have to treat our offense when he's around is just phenomenal. So some of the things that I've noticed, right? And I think I might have drank the Kool-Aid a little too soon with our pass rush, but not our overall defense. I think our pass rush will get better as the season goes on. But right now they're not really pass rushing. They're just not. If you watched it, the defensive ends or the whatever they are, they're the rush backers or whatever they want to call them. I don't even know at this point, but it would traditionally be the defensive ends. So the outside linebackers, so Mike Morris, Braid McGregor, Harrell, and Upshaw, right? They, first of all, don't know how to contain, which makes me a little nervous when it comes to some of these better rushing teams that we will be facing in the near future. So like Penn State will scare me if we don't know how to do contain. Both Braid McGregor and Mike Morris got burned today because they collapsed in without worrying about contain. And that is my biggest pet peeve when it comes to the contain person or the rushing linebacker or the defensive end of a defense, is that your main responsibility is contain, and they didn't do it whatsoever, and they got burned. And if that's happening against UConn, it's going to happen against some of the better rushing teams. And I do not want to lose to Penn State. I don't want to lose to Michigan State on stupid shit like that. And that's what's going to happen if they continue to do that dumb stuff. I know they want the glory. I know they want to get in there and smack that quarterback. But you got to do it in the right possible way. You can't go running past the running back as he goes right past you. You can't do it. And if you go around, looping around like Braid McGregor did, and the quarterback goes the absolute opposite way you just ran, which was supposed to be the place you were supposed to be, don't know what to tell you. And that could end up biting us in the ass this season. So that is really annoying me. But the run defense is phenomenal. Absolutely, the wall. I mean, these defensive tackles are killing it. I mean, I'm talking Mason Graham, Chris Jenkins, Mozzie Smith. I mean, oh, George Rooks. We have got defensive tackles that are, they might as well be the wall from Game of Thrones, because ain't nobody getting past these dudes. And I love it. I mean, UConn came in with a pretty good running back today, and we shut him down. Actually, I think they knocked him out of the game, to be quite honest with you. Just get the numbers here. UConn, and they're all good. Okay, our pass defense, too. I don't even want to forget them. Our pass defense is phenomenal, and I can't wait until next week. I'm, like, nervous, can't wait, because I can't wait to see what this defensive backfield does against Maryland. And I think we have a chance to shut them down, like embarrassing shut them down. Because Samer still, is he not just a stud? I mean, he wasn't going to make it to the NFL as a wide receiver, but he's going to make it in the NFL as a nickelback. He's going to do it. He's amazing. He's absolutely going to do it, I think. I'm very, very, very impressed with what he's doing so far. I think our cornerbacks are pretty amazing. I think our safety play, Makari Page, R.J. Moten, solid. Rod Moore, solid. I mean, this is the best defensive backfield I think we've had in a very long time. A very long time. So I'm very excited about that. But our defensive tackles, these guys are killing them. So here's the numbers. I forgot. Let me get to the numbers. UConn, total passing yards, 24. Total passing yards, 24. Total rushing yards, 86. And most of that came off of one play by their starting quarterback on like a keeper or something like that. That was it. And that basically all happened at the beginning of the third quarter. Our defense is on point. The rush ends and the defensive ends, whatever you want to call them, are disappointing me right at this point in time. They're disappointing me. But overall, defense is phenomenal. And that's something you can just, you can coach them out of that, right? You can coach them out of that. And I'm sure Braden McGregor, because I'm a big Braden McGregor fan. I think McGregor and Harrell are going to be the next Hutch and Ajabo next season. I definitely see that happening. But just right now, he's still a young kid learning. So it's the way it is. It's annoying, but it's promising. I know they can learn something. This is not like a deficiency where you're like, it's just nothing. Like lack of speed. You can't coach speed, right? But you can coach them to fucking contain. So that's just how I see that. So I'm pretty good with that. Everything was just so nice. Oh, one thing I really did like today was the crowd's reaction to Cade. I really appreciate that. I've been hard on Cade. I get it. I've been hard on Cade. But I just realized Cade's limitations. I think the kid's great. And I love him as a leader, like I said, and he seems like a good kid. But what I thought was great was how loud they cheered for him. That was very sweet. But it also led me to one thing. Does the offensive line dislike Cade McNamara? Or is it that the defense, as soon as they see Cade McNamara come in, just absolutely knows he's a statue, so they bring the house constantly? Which one is it? Because every time you see Cade McNamara, that's when there's a breakdown in coverage. That's when the line gives up sacks, right? I think there was one sack on JJ today, but that was just because it was a good coverage sack. But I'm talking full-on bull rush, knock the crap out of you type sack. It's only when Cade's in the game. It's very odd. So it's either that the offensive line does not like Cade McNamara, which I don't know if I believe, or the defense, their defensive coordinator is like, Cade McNamara's in, he cannot move, let's blitz the hell out of this kid. It's one of the two, but It really, I mean, he has been under fire the last 2 weeks with defensives just blitzing his brains out. Sad to see him get hurt, but as we all know, Cade McNamara is injury prone, right? Absolute injury prone. He missed his first, I think his freshman season with some unknown knee injury, which he redshirted, and didn't really need him then anyways, right? Because we had Shea, I think. And then he separated his shoulder, did some with his collarbone in that game in 2020 against Penn State, which knocked him out for the, well, that was our season, I guess. That was 2020. So yeah, he's injury prone. The kid's injury prone. So that's not a shocker that he would. And plus, I mean, he's getting full on straight shots. It's like the offensive line is just watching the defense just run past them at this point. So I feel bad for him. But I mean, like I said, he was one bad series away from being the third string quarterback, and right now. I didn't know it was going to be because of the injury, but Davis Warren, come on, buddy, you're next up, second in line. So let's hope JJ continues to do what he does, start slinging that rock, and I think we'll just continue enjoying this game. I mean, it's going to be a real short episode because, I mean, what else do we need to talk about? You know, I mean, it just, Roman Wilson looks fantastic, right? He's the big play guy. You've got Ronnie Bell, which is coming back into form. I mean, 7 catches for 97 yards or something like that. No touchdowns, which is a Ronnie Bell thing. I would like, you know, obviously I would love to see more wide receivers get involved. I mean, like the ones I like A2, Andrell Anthony. I would love to see that kid get more involved. But, I mean, literally, the starters have only played maybe a game and a half at this point. Maybe. I mean, let's see here. The starters played 3 quarters today, or 3.5, or 2.5 quarters today, and then 2 quarters. So they basically played two full games out of the three. You know what I mean? Like, they've very little time of playing. So that's what's so exciting about next week moving forward, is that from here on out, we're going to see these guys play the whole game, so I can't wait to see who breaks out. Because even though we've seen them spread the ball to everybody, if we've seen all that, then that's what the defenses and the other defensive coordinators have seen. So they really don't know anything as much as we know. We don't know shit. They don't know shit. So that's very exciting, is that we have major studs on this team that we still haven't even used. Really, when you look at Schoonmaker, All, A2... you can get into, say, well, Cornelius Johnson. I mean, I'm almost done with this kid. He trips, he holds. I mean, I've always been on the fence with this kid, of liking him or whatever. I mean, I'm sure he's a nice kid and all, but I'm talking about his play on the field. You know, we've got major studs that haven't even really done anything yet. So how do you game plan against that? And I think that's probably one of the more brilliant things that Harbaugh has done, is by playing everybody, you're making the defensive coordinators for like Maryland and Iowa can literally waste their time looking at stuff that you're never really going to see. This has been fantastic. So I definitely think that is an awesome move by Harbaugh. And I think we just need to accept that we played 3 awful teams. So we didn't have to really show anything. We didn't really have to get people involved, you know? So I'm looking to see how this happens. I'm very excited about this. Isaiah Gash, by the way, looking awesome. CJ Stokes looking awesome. I mean, our running back room is stacked for the next couple years at least. Absolutely stacked. This team is the most deep, most impressive, most... gelled team. Then this offense looks way different. This is the most cohesive looking offense I've seen in a long time. I'm just very excited about what's happening, where we're going, and I'm nervous excited about next week. It's one of our first tests, you know, like I use the analogy of the Mike Tyson's punch out. We're right at the you know, the little Spaniard that did the little dance with the rose, and you know, that's what Maryland is. They're a one-trick pony, right? If you know what that one trick is, you just wait, boom, slide, and knock them out. And that's what I'm waiting to see. I want to see how just a really decent passing attack with a very mobile quarterback. So that attacks two things that we need to work on. Defensive backfield is amazing, so I'm not really worried about that. But that defensive line is going to have to face their first mobile quarterback, and I can't wait to see how they do it. So it's very exciting. I think it's going to be, I don't think it's going to be that close of a game, but I don't know. I can't wait to break some of this stuff down. I actually will watch one or two Maryland games this week, right before the big game pregame. So I think that's really about it, guys. I mean, it was a very ho-hum win. It was very uninspiring, but super fun to watch. I mean, I didn't know what to think of this game. I loved watching it, but there was just some things. We clean them up and we get moving, right? Oh, good thing is Michigan State sucks ding dong. I mean, 36 to 14 right now, 10 minutes left in the fourth. I love watching the fan reaction. Oh my God, it is the best. I hate Michigan State, and it's so good to see that their defensive backfield stinks something awful. I can't wait for JJ to get a hold of that and just tear them up, because he has that game specifically circled on his calendar, and he cannot wait to show this team up. He may drop 500 yards on this team. Not kidding. If Michael Penix Jr. can do it, anybody can. I mean, this dude who's calling the game made it seem like Michael Penix Jr. was the greatest quarterback that's ever played in the game of football. I don't think so. Sorry. Decent, more than accurate, fine. But not, I mean, come on. No. Not JJ McCarthy level. Plain and simple. Oh, and old numbnuts number 10 for Michigan State just threw an interception. God, I love it. I love this. Okay, guys, I'm gonna get out of here. I was gonna sit here and enjoy the rest of this Michigan State. Oh, this is fantastic. Love it. Okay, guys, just remember, it is always great to be a Michigan Wolverine. It is great to be a Michigan Wolverine. And always and forever, guys, go blue.